Welcome back to Anatomy at the Art of Healing. I'm back again with the anatomical terminologies. Anatomical terminologies have a quite regular morphology, the same prefixes and the suffixes, which are used to add meanings to the different roots. The root of a term often refers to an organ or tissue. For example, the musculus biceps brachii, which can be split up, and it refers to the musculus, for example, for the muscle, biceps, that means two-headed, brachii, that is the brachial region of the arm, similar to which I had explained in the previous episode, the sternocleidomastoid muscle. It helps you to pronounce, it helps you to understand the meaning, it also helps you to understand the location where it is situated. So splitting the word and understanding its location, its meaning, and also helping to pronounce it more clearly. When describing the position of anatomical structures, these structures may be described according to the anatomical landmark that are near to. And these landmarks may include structures such as umbilicus or sternum, or the anatomical lines like the midclavicular line from the center of the clavicle, the cephalon or the cephalic region, which refers to the head. This area is further differentiated into cranium, that is the skull, facies, that means the face, frons, that is the forehead, oculus, that is the eye area, oris, that is the ear, bucca, that is the cheek, nasus, that is the nose, oris, that is the mouth, mentum, that is the chin. The neck area is also called as the cervix or the cervical region. Examples of structures named according to this include the frontalis muscle, submental lymph nodes, buccal membrane, orbicularis oculi muscle. So it helps us to understand the region where it is placed. Frontalis muscle means it is placed on the frontal bone. Submentalis lymph nodes, that means these lymph nodes are present just below the chin. Buccal membrane, that means this membrane is related to the cheek. Orbicularis oculi muscle, that is the muscle which is placed around the orbit of the eye. Sometimes unique terminologies are also used to reduce the confusion. For example, different terms which are used when it comes to the skull in compliance with its embryonic origin. Rostral refers to the proximity to the nose, front of the nose, and is particularly used when describing the skull. Different terminologies often used in the arms in part to reduce the ambiguity, like front, back, inner, outer surfaces of the arm, like radial, referring to the radius bone seen laterally. In layman terminology, it can be called as outer aspect of the forearm. And in the anatomical, standard anatomical position, it's called as lateral part or radial. Ulnar, referring to ulna bone, medially positioned. When it is called in the standard anatomical position, medially. So other terms are also used to describe the movements and the actions of the hands and the feet and other structures like the eye or the different joints. Coming to the anatomical position of the human body, it is the basic thing which has to be studied or known, for all other parts of the body coincide with the standard anatomical position of the human body. So this is the position where the human being stands erect, upright, with the feet placed on the ground, toes directed in the front, both the feet are parallel to each other, and both the upper limbs are hanging by the side of the trunk, and the palms facing in the front and the face facing in the front. This upright position is called as the anatomical position of the human body. The regions of the body, in terms of anatomy, the body is also divided into different regions. In the front, the trunk is referred to as the thorax and abdomen. The back as general area is the dorsum or the dorsal area of the human body, and the lower back on the dorsum is the lumbus or the lumbar region. The shoulder blades placed on the dorsal region are the scapular area, and the breastbone in the front is the sternal region. Also, the abdominal area is the area or the region between the chest and the pelvis. The breast is also called as the mammary region. The armpit is called as the axilla or axillary region. The navel as the umbilicus and umbilical region. The pelvis is the lower torso, and it is placed between the abdomen and the thighs. The groin, where the thigh joins the trunk, is also called as inguine or inguinal region. The entire arm is referred to as the brachium and the brachial. The front of the elbow is called as antecubitus or antecubital. The back of the elbow is the olecranon or olecranal region. The forearm is called as antebrachium or antebrachial. The wrist, also called as the carpus or carpal area. The hand as the manus or manual. The palm as the palma or palmar. The thumb is called as pollex, and the fingers, the digits, the phalanges or phalangeal. The buttocks are the gluteus or gluteal region, and the pubic area is the pubis. The anatomists divide the lower limb into the thigh, the part of the limb between the hip and the knee, and the leg, which refers only to the area of the limb between the knee and the ankle. The thigh is the femur or the femoral region. The kneecap is the patella or patellar, while the back of the knee is the popliteus or the popliteal area. The leg between the knee and the ankle is also called as the crus or the crural area. The lateral aspect of the leg is called as the peroneal area, and the calf is also called as the sural or the sura region. The ankle is the tarsus and the tarsal region, whereas the heel is the calcaneus or calcaneal region. The foot is the pes and the pedal region, while the sole of the foot is the plantar and also called as the plantar region. Now, the toes or the fingers of the leg, those toes are called as the digits, phalanges and the phalangeal area. The big toe is called as the helix. Now, to promote clear communication in the medical field, for instance, about the location of the patient's abdomen, abdominal pain or any suspicious mass, the abdominal cavity is also divided into 9 regions or 4 quadrants. So, it is very important to localize the pain or to find out the localized pain. So, these quadrants of the abdomen, these are mainly divided into 4 quadrants and more commonly used in medicine, and further it is subdivided with 1 horizontal line and 1 vertical line, that intersects at the patient's umbilicus. The upper right quadrant includes the right lower ribs, the right side of the liver, and the right side of the transverse colon. The upper left quadrant includes the lower left ribs, the stomach, the spleen, and the left upper area of the transverse colon. The right lower quadrant, it includes the right half of the smaller intestines, the ascending colon, the right pelvic bone, the upper right area of the bladder, whereas the left lower quadrant, it contains the left half of the smaller intestines and the left pelvic bone. So in this way, the basic four quadrants of the abdomen are placed. Further, for more detailed regional approach, it is further divided into 9 regions with 2 vertical and 2 horizontal lines, which are drawn according to the landmark structures. The vertical lines are also called as the midclavicular lines, and they are drawn as if dropped from a midpoint of each of the clavicle. The superior horizontal line is the subcostal line, which is drawn immediately inferior to the ribs. The inferior horizontal line is called as the intertubercular line, and it is crosses the iliac tubercles and is found at the superior aspect of the pelvis. So the upper right square is the right hypochondriac region, contains the base of the right ribs. The upper left square is the left hypochondriac region and contains the base of the left ribs. The epigastric region is present in between these two regions. It contains the bottom edge of the liver as well as the upper areas of the stomach. The diaphragm, it curves like upside down U over the three regions. So the central right region is called as the right lumbar region, and it contains the ascending colon and the right edge of the small intestines. The central square, it contains the transverse colon and the upper regions of the small intestines. The left lumbar region, it contains the left edge of the transverse colon and the left edge of the small intestine. The lower right square is the right iliac region, and it contains the right pelvic bones and ascending colon. The left square, lower one, is the left iliac region, and it contains the left pelvic bone and the left lower left of the small intestine. The lower central square, it contains the bottoms of the pubic bones, upper regions of the bladder, and the lower region of the small intestine. So in this way, the 9 quadrants are subdivided. So these can be named as the right hypochondriac, the epigastrium, the left hypochondriac, the right lumbar, the umbilical, and the left lumbar, the right iliac, hypogastrium, and the left iliac. These are the 9 quadrants of the abdomen. Coming to the standard terms, these standard terms avoid confusion. For example, we come to the right and the left sides of the body, where while observing the body in anatomical positions, the left side of the body on the is always on the observer's right side and vice versa. So these standard terms, to avoid confusion, we name it as anterior and posterior, which describe the structures at the front are the anterior, whereas at the back is the posterior. For example, toes are anterior to the heel. Popliteus muscle is posterior to the patella. Superior and inferior. This describes a position above. Above is superior and below is inferior. For example, orbits are superior to the oris. Pelvis is inferior to the abdomen. Next term is proximal and distal. Proximal describes a position that is closer. Proximal. Farther from, that is distal. So distal from the trunk of the body can call it as, or farther from the trunk of the body. For example, the shoulder is proximal to the arm and foot is distal to the knee. Next term is superficial and deep. Superficial refers to structures that are closer to superficial or farther from, that is deep, farther from the surface of the body. So deep from the surface of the body. For example, skin is superficial to the bones. Brain is deep into the skull. Next term is medial and lateral, which describe a position that is closer to medial or farther from the lateral midline of the body. So it always refers to the midline of the structure of the body, that is closer to or away from the midline. For example, nose is medial to the eyes. Thumb is lateral to other fingers. Next term is ventral and dorsal. These describe the structures derived from front, ventral, back, dorsal of the embryo. That is before the limb rotation in the embryological stages. Next term is rostral and caudal. These are also referred to according to the embryological origin, which describe the structures close to rostral or farther from the caudal, the nose. For example, the eyes are rostral to the back of the skull and the tailbone is caudal to the chest. The other term is cranial and caudal, which describe the structures close to the top of the skull, cranial, and towards the bottom of the body, that is caudal. Occasionally, sinister is referred for left and dexter for right are also used. Paired refers to structure that is present on both sides of the body. For example, the hands are paired structures. Then are the axes. Axis, each locational term defining the direction of a vector. Pairs of them can define the axis, that is the lines of orientation. For example, you can say the blood can be said to be flowing in a proximal direction or a distal direction, or anterior-posterior, medio-lateral, inferior-superior axis. These are the lines along with the which the body extends, like XYZ axis of a Cartesian coordinate system. These type of axis or the lines of orientation can also be referred to the movements of the eyeball. So an axis can be projected to a corresponding plane to describe the movement, to describe the structures and the orientation. Next are the planes of the body. Coming to the three anatomical planes of the body, these are the sagittal plane and the transverse plane and the frontal planes. Anatomy is frequently described in planes, referring to a two-dimensional sections of the body. So a section is always a two-dimensional surface of a three-dimensional structure that has been cut. So a plane is an imaginary two-dimensional surface that passes through the body. And these three planes are commonly referred to in anatomy as well as in medicine. The sagittal plane It's the plane that divides the body or an organ vertically into right and left sides. If this vertical plane runs directly down the middle of the body, it is called as mid-sagittal or median plane. If it divides the body into unequal right and left sides, then it is called as parasagittal plane, or less commonly as longitudinal section. The frontal plane, it is the plane that divides the body or organ into anterior front portion and a posterior rear portion. The frontal plane is often referred to as a coronal plane. In Latin, it means corona, that means the crown. The transverse plane, it is a plane that divides the body or the organ horizontally into upper part and a lower part. The transverse planes produce images referred to as cross sections, most frequently referred to in the microscopical histological anatomy. Now coming to the functional states, anatomical terms, these are used to describe the functional state of an organ. Some terms like anastomosis refers to the connection between two structures previously branched out, such as blood vessels or the veins. Coming to patent meaning a structure such as an artery or a vein or any hollow structure that abnormally remains open, and such as patent ductus arteriosus, referring to ductus arteriosus which remains normally becomes the ligamentum arteriosum within 3 weeks of the birth. Also sometimes that is some structure that is patent may also refer to a channel such as a blood vessel, section of a bowel or collecting system, or a duct that is occluded remains open to free flow, it is not occluded. Such obstructions may include a calculus, the kidney stone or a gallstone, or a plaque like that encountered in the vital arteries, the coronary arteries, cerebral arteries, because of which there can be an unspecific obstruction, a mass or bowel obstruction. So that remains to be patent. It can be congenital as well. A plexus refers to a net-like arrangement. It can be a plexus of nerves, a plexus of veins. So these are some of the states, anatomical functional states, where these terms are used. Next term is the anatomical variation. Now the term anatomical variation, it is used to refer to a difference in anatomical structures. It is not a disease, but many structures, they vary slightly between people. For example, muscles that attach slightly at different places. For example, there can be a presence or absence of a certain structure. Like for example, palmaris longus tendon. Anatomical variations is unlike congenital anomalies. Congenital anomalies, these are considered to be a disorder. So anatomical variations are simply a variable structure which is placed slightly differently in different individuals. This also has to be studied in anatomy to understand it for the different clinical conditions and surgical conditions where these anatomical variations have to be known. Now coming to the anatomical terminologies referring to in the motion or movements, like terms describing motion in general, which include flexion and extension, which refer to a movement that decreases or increases, that is flexion and extension. This increases or decreases the angle between the body parts. For example, when standing up, you see that the knees are extended. In the similar way, abduction and adduction. It refers to a motion that pulls our structure away from the midline of the body or towards the midline of the body. So when it is away, that is abduction, And when the structure comes towards the midline of the body, it's the adduction. Or it can be referred to in a limb or a parts of the limb like the digits. So there is another term, internal rotation, also called as medial rotation. Or external rotation, that is the lateral rotation, which refers to the rotation towards internal or away from, that is external, from the center of the body. For example, the lotus position posture in yoga, it requires the legs to be externally rotated. Coming to the another term, that is elevation and depression. It refers to the movement in a superior, that is elevation, or inferior, that is depressive direction. Primarily, it refers to the movements involving the scapula and the mandible. So, when you depress the mandible, it will be opening the mouth. And when you elevate the mandible, it will be closing of the mouth. There are certain special motions of the hands and feet. So while we refer to these movements, these are regarded to unique to the hands and the feet, like dorsiflexion and plantar flexion. It refers to the flexion, that is the dorsiflexion, or extension of the foot at the ankle. For example, plantar flexion, it occurs when pressing the brake pedal of a car. Palmar flexion and the dorsiflexion refers to the movement of the flexion, palmar flexion, or extension, that is dorsiflexion, of the hand at the wrist. For example, while praying, prayer is often conducted with the hands dorsiflexed. Coming to another term, pronation and supination. So, these refer to the rotation of the forearm or the foot so that in the anatomical position, the palm or the sole is facing anteriorly. That will be supination. Or where it is facing posteriorly, that will be pronation. For example, you can say the kings pronate and the beggars supinate. The hands are placed in the begging position, that is the supination, when it is referred to the forearm. For example, if a person makes a thumbs up gesture, the supination will cause the thumb to point away from the body midline and the fingers and the palm to be upwards. While pronation will cause the thumb to point towards the body midline with the back of the hand upwards. Next, coming to eversion and inversion. It refers to the movements that tilt the sole of the foot away from or towards the midline of the body. When it is away from the midline of the body, that is eversion, and when it is towards the midline of the body, that will be inversion. So guys, these were different terminologies related to the anatomical structures. I'll be coming back with further more terminologies in the next episode. Till then, keep tuned in. See you again in the next episode. Dr. Rajeshwari signing off. Until we meet again.